The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and we will read verses 18, 19, and 20. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18, 19, and 20. If you've got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, those of you still looking for it, say amen. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18, 19, 20. Let's read those together aloud. Verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Amen. If you look at strictly verse 19, and that's where we are centering our thoughts, it says, "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I want to talk about called to follow Jesus. Called to follow Jesus. Out of all of the vast array of instructions and directions that we hear and that we receive, Jesus uses simply 10 words that provide direction. 10 words that divide direction for the work of every Christian. 10 words Jesus uses to provide direction for the work of every Christian. Look at it again. These words are seen in verse 19. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This is a perpetual and constant command for every generation of Christians and the church. Jesus, beginning his Galilean ministry, gives his first command in verse 17. It says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I need to tell you that the Christian journey begins at repentance. It is the first step in the Christian life. It is not the middle, it's not the end, but repentance is the first step of the Christian life. But then the Christian life does not stop with repentance. Amen. For after the first step of the Christian life, Jesus in our text gives us the second step. That is, follow me, Christ, and to witness to others about him. Y'all see that? First, repentance. And then secondly, work. Follow me. To witness, to be a fisherman of men. This second command, follow me, is the lifelong work of every Christian. Amen. when you start talking about this discipleship stuff, I'm fully aware that it's boring. The second command, follow me, is the lifelong work of every Christian. Amen. Now this witness is twofold. It is the witness of word and deed. It is the witness of word and deed. You know, y'all always say that you'd rather see the life of a Christian live rather than all of his talking. So this thing is twofold. There's word and deed. One's deeds verify their words, and one's words give validity to their deeds. Have I got a witness here today? Y'all go with me. I'm taking my time here deliberately. One's deeds verify a person's words, and one's words give validity to their deeds. Jesus uses three pronouns that are very important. He says, me, I, and you. In other words, follow me, I will make you. It is the promise that his person and power in us will result in something different in our lives and in the lives of others. And is that not what we want to do in life? Don't we want to make a difference in somebody's life? Isn't that the desire of all of us? To make a difference in somebody's life. Look at the structure of this sentence. Take notice of the verbs follow and make. These are action words of great importance. Follow is a plural verb in our text. So that means this word does not just call for the action on the part of Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, but this word is the action of all of us. It is perpetual action. Follow. And he'll make. Christ is calling all of us who have repented and taken his name to follow him. It is a decisive action. Then he says, I will make. This is the action of Christ. You know the thing? You know, you people say, I'm a self-made man. Well, no man can make themselves a disciple of Christ. Or a fisherman of Christ, that can only be accomplished through the work of Christ. Christ in us does great and mighty things through us. Christ makes us soul winners, fishers of men. We cannot make ourselves soul winners. Only Christ can. So then the necessary thing is to follow Christ. Follow Christ. Once you repent, follow Christ. Follow Christ.
I need to tell you, don't follow the preacher, don't follow the deacon. Don't follow your husband, don't follow your wife. But if you follow Christ, then all the rest will line up.
I know some folk that have followed the wrong person and ended up in some deadly places, dangerous places. Following Christ is the requirement. Following Christ is the prerequisite. Following Christ precedes fishing for men. If you're going to fish for men, you've got to follow Christ. Every one of us can and should be a part of this great reality, fishing for men. Well, first, look at what
what's required to be a fisherman, or what's required to follow Christ. Let me suggest to you first that if you're going to be a fisherman, if you're going to follow Christ, your life's vision must be His vision. Your life's vision must be His vision. For our vision to be His vision, we must turn over our life's direction. You know, repentance is turn from the way you're going and go the opposite direction. And so you've got to turn over your life's direction to Him and to go in the direction that He's going in, and the direction of our lives, we have to turn them over to Him. Let Him direct our lives. This means we put others before ourselves. We think of others, not ourselves. You remember Jesus said, if any man is going to follow me or come after me, he's got to take up his cross, and he's got to do what? Deny himself. And if you deny yourself, you're going to put Christ and others before you. And so when we comprehend the reality that life is more than time, it's eternity, we then follow Christ and learn from Him who is of eternity. If we would do this, we would learn from Him. And all we're trying to tell you is that this little blip in time is insignificant to the life that we'll spend in eternity. We could catch His vision. Say not, ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. John 4:35. And then in Mark 16:15, He said unto them, go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel unto all of the world. And then we learn of Him, His wisdom, His ways. We learn true happiness. We learn how to bless others. We learn how to pray. We learn how to live a blessed life. When we learn of Him, His spirit of compassion becomes our spirit of compassion. And we see His obedience and faith. We learn His sacrifices. You remember when He said the foxes and the birds had places to lay their heads in rest, but the Son of Man had no place to lay His head. He went to the cross down the way of sorrows and death. He is the grain of wheat that fell into the ground. So we learn of His sacrifice. We learn of His victory in resurrection power. We learn His power, the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to become fishers, if we're going to follow Jesus, we've got to let our life's vision must be His vision. And then secondly, we learn that we have responsibility. And responsibility leads to us an obligation. We have a spiritual responsibility as a Christian. And every Christian senses a personal responsibility for winning souls. Why? Because it is built. It is built in. It is put in us and prompted by the Holy Spirit. And refusal to honor this responsibility is not without accountability. It is a responsibility the Scripture holds before us all. Proverbs 11:30 says this, he that winneth souls is wise. How many of you are wise? If I had time, I'd have you to go look at this next one. How many of you can get there real quick? Go to Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 and 8. Ezekiel 33, 7 and 8. If you fast, if you've been doing some Bible drills, you can go there real quick. Y'all know Ezekiel, Old Testament, major prophet. Ezekiel 33. 7 through 8. Y'all there yet? Okay. And what I'm talking about is that the scripture holds before us our responsibility. We can't escape it. The scripture tells us that witnessing and fishing for men, following Christ, is our responsibility as Christians. Look at Ezekiel 33, 7 and 8. And so thou, O son of man, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and do what? Warn what? Them from me. All right, look at verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely, what? If thou what? If who doesn't speak? If who don't speak? If thou, if you, if me, if I don't speak to do what? Warn the wicked what? That wicked man shall what? But what? At whose hand? You know, I know people don't want to hear when they're going wrong. They'll tell you, I don't want to hear that. And they'll get outright ugly with you. But who are you afraid of, them or God? Keep speaking it. You can't make them respond, but you have a responsibility to speak it. Make them get out of the way. Don't you get out of the way. If they don't want to hear it, they need to run. You ever seen a snake? You know, if a snake had a preference, except for old mean water moccasin, they'll chase after you out of the water. Y'all may not have had that, but I have. Water moccasin will come out of the water after you. They mean. They ornery. They just stubborn. They just want you to chop their head off. They want to go in the fire. But most snakes, if they hear you coming, they'll get out of your way. And if you've got people that don't want to hear the truth, speak the truth and make them get out of your way. Don't you get out of their way. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because you are held responsible for speaking the truth. And if you don't, it says, his blood, God says, I will require at your hand. We are responsible because the Lord said so. In Matthew 5:13, he says, now, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is a preservative. It cures. And if a sinner wants to be cured, they got to have some salt. Put on their soul. Doesn't feel good because it burns, it purifies. You are the salt of the earth. But now, if the salt have lost his savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And I tell you what, I don't know if Christian has lost this saltiness or not. When we can vote or hold one of the biggest populations in this country to say, yeah, we're going to vote to where we can have homosexual marriages. And Christians lay down, they're just trumping us under their feet. Is it because we have lost our saltiness? Scripture says it. And then we're told, but now we are responsible because of Jesus' example in John 1:43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find it Philip and said unto him, follow me. And in John chapter 4, he witnessed to the woman at the well, and she became a soul winner. Jesus did it. We ought to do it if we're following him. We not only have the example of Jesus, we have the example of other New Testament believers. Andrew went and found Simon Peter. Philip went and told Nathaniel. And Paul went all over the world witnessing, talking about the man he met on the road to to Damascus. We know we are responsible because the cry from hell pleads and begs us to be responsible. If you don't believe me, in your time, write it down. Go look at Luke 16, 27 and 28, where it says, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. We know we are responsible because our Heavenly Father has a reward for those who win souls. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 tells us this, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then listen to what John tells us in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. He says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converted him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. Hide my sins, Lord. Let me go tell somebody that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I've got so many sins, I need some of them covered up. Cover me up, Lord. Give me a holy boldness to go tell somebody that Jesus died, was buried, rose from the grave, that they might be saved, that my sins may be hidden from him. If you can turn a brother from his sins, it'll hide a multitude of your sins. Following Jesus and being a fisher of men requires that we catch his vision. And we are given a spiritual responsibility. But thirdly, following Jesus requires a zealous spirit and a made up mind. This zealous spirit and made up mind is expressed in the spirit of our commitment, as expressed in our love for the Lord and our neighbor. And Jesus was so committed because of his love for the Father and man, that he was willing to come all the way down from heaven to earth and become a human being identifying with us. And I need to let you know, he did not have to do it. It was this commitment of love. He went to the cross and there he died. He did not have to do it. Not only did he not come down from the cross, he could have never have gone to the cross, but it was his commitment of love that caused him to stay on that cross. He was buried 3 days down into the depths of the earth. He went. He did not have to do it, but he did it because of the commitment of his love. And early on the third day morning, he rose from the dead with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, and showed himself alive in demonstration of his love for all humanity, that all might come to him for salvation. I need to ask you to look at the person next to you and just look around the room. I need you to really do that. Look at the person next to you. Look around the room. And when you go to work, just look across the landscape of your co-workers. When you walk into your house and you see your relatives, I need you to ask yourself this question. How much do you love them? Do you really, really love them? If you love them, you don't mind telling them that they're going in the wrong direction. You don't mind telling them that there is a Savior that can save to the utmost if you really, really love them. This zealous spirit must be a compassionate spirit, not a mean spirit. But in Matthew 9, we are told of Jesus when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. It was his compassion that governed his life and moved him to action. Let me put a pin there, and I might just go on and quit right here. But my brothers and sisters, I need to tell you, we need to awaken our compassionate spirit, and we need to watch the teenagers and the young folk that are marching up and around our community and around town. Some of them look like they are sheep without a shepherd. The way they are dressed, the way they are acting, what they are using, and what they are doing. But if we have a compassionate spirit, we don't mind pulling a young boy aside and not beating him up, not talking about him, but trying to encourage him that he can be more than what he's around. These little girls that we see walking, pushing baskets up and down the street, you don't have to condemn them and talk about them and call them hoochies and call them sluts and whores and all of that stuff. That little girl is somebody's daughter, and that little girl was made by God in his image, and we need to go alongside of them and quit talking about them and encourage them to become more and to be better than what they are. Do I have a witness here today? That's what a compassionate spirit would do. I tell you, and they want somebody to come alongside of them and love them and help them and encourage them. Not only just tell them, but show them by their deeds. And I need to tell some of y'all, if you're walking around here with your dresses up to here, you can't tell them to pull their dresses down. If you're walking around with shorts showing the bottom of your back in, you can't tell them that they can't wear them shorts. You've got to be a compassionate person, and you've got to demonstrate it. I think all of us really know what's right and what's wrong, but we're listening to the wrong voice. We're listening to the world. But I need to tell you that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world bend you around and make you what it is. We are different. We are a holy people. We don't look like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't talk like the world. We are not of the world. We are seated in heavenly places, and we ought to act like it. You wouldn't go and sit by Jesus Christ with some shorts on showing. You wouldn't go sit by Jesus Christ with your breast showing and hanging all out, would you? Would you go sit by him smelling like you just left the club? No, you wouldn't. We are seated in heavenly places. And there are some people that want to see us for who we really, really are. People want to know, is it anything truthful to this thing called Christianity? Is it real? If I put you next to them, what will you see as the difference? What will you hear as the difference? The parrot in the club. Y'all all heard it before, the parrot in the club. He went to the club one Saturday night. He went to the club with his owner, and they went and they listened and they danced and they had a great time. That old parrot could talk, and the next morning the old man said, "Let's go to church." And the parrot got up and came to church with his master, sitting right back there about where Chastity is. And that parrot was looking around, bobbing his head, and the parrot got to talking. He said, "Same folk, same folk. It's the same folk in church that were in the club last night." If we're going to be fishers of men, we've got to follow Jesus. It must be with a zealous and compassionate spirit. And this is serious. This, you just don't know how serious this is. Folk are dying and going to hell. And we've got a message that can deliver them. These kids don't know. They want to know. If you, listen, I'm through. I'm through. If you grew up and you've been put down, if you've been talked about and said you were never going to be anything all of your life or some other form, you get to be 17, 16, 21. And then you go on the scene. They're going to have a hard time believing you and trusting you, because people have told them all of their lives they'll never amount to anything. Somebody told some of y'all that, haven't they? There's somebody here right now. People have told you you will never amount to anything. And somebody came along and gave you a little help. And God took that little help that they gave and graced it. And here you are, better than what folk ever thought you were going to be. We still not that much, Brother Meeks. But we're better because Jesus got a hold of us. And he's still working on us. Sometimes he has to drag us forward. And all I'm telling you is that there are people that want to hear that there is hope. And we've got the message. But if they're going to hear you, you've got to live it. Doors of the church are open. There may be somebody here who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you want to do that today. The scripture says that if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. It is by faith through the grace of God. You can't save yourself. It is a work of God. He said that he would save you if you would believe and confess Jesus Christ. If you're here as the invitation has been rendered, we invite you to accept God's offer of salvation. Won't you come? You come. Maybe you're here looking for a church home and you want to make the Zion Church your church home. We invite you to come.
I felt your presence when I opened my is morning. I remember how we started the day together. Somehow we drifted apart. Oh, I need to feel your presence all through the day. But sometimes I get weak and I want to stray.
I start all over again
and again and again. Please, Lord, give me one more chance. Today I want to be closer. Just to please you in everything I do. Lord, I want to walk like you. Yes, I want to talk just like you. Lord, I want to live holy just like you told me to. I've fallen short of your word, but Lord, I come running and I come crying, and you bless me each and every day. Lord, I start all over and over and over and over again. Please give me one more chance today.